Hi! Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. People, we're living in the last days. Exciting things are going to happen. We're going to see more physical healings, more miracles. But all is not going to be peachy keen. All is not going to be the wonderful move of God that's going to be blessings and things like that. Because, you know, this is something that has to be understood. It's the last days. You know, this kind of has something like Armageddon. And so, you know, you don't get to Armageddon by having lots of blessings. Now, you're going to have lots of blessings, but there's also got to be something that's going to make Armageddon happen. Armageddon is not just that we're having a good time and then tomorrow's Armageddon. It's not that way. Armageddon's taken a long time to make. In fact, it took two world wars to get the world ready enough for an Armageddon. And so there's lots of things that are going to be happening in the days ahead. Heretofore, Christianity has been a occupation, as it was. You accept Jesus, you live your life the best you can, you try to win some people to Christ if this is what you feel, or otherwise you don't try to be a decent Christian, go to church, read the Bible a little and so forth, and do pretty good. Maybe you don't feel such a great calling or something like that. But some of you do feel this kind of a calling and so forth. And heretofore, it was either go to Bible college, put your name in a kitty so you could be a pastor, you know, your name could be drawn, you could be voted in as a pastor someplace. Maybe you can even start your independent church or something. We have lots of pastors that have done lots of things, lots of ministers, lots of Christian groups around us, lots of people trying to do their thing. Now, there's something interesting about the past 2,000 years. God has let His children run the show. You get to choose your ministry, as it were. Now, you could say, well, God chose me and all that. Yeah, no, that's so sweet that God chose you. But you went to college. You got your degree or got your Bible education enough that a church voted you to be pastor, or by various means throughout the world, you became a pastor or a minister of a group or a missionary or something. You pretty much made the steps. Sure, you felt called. You usually don't go to do these things unless you feel like you want to do this deep in your heart. But generally speaking, you're pretty much making your own way. You're learning your stuff. You give it to God, put it before God and everything. You pray and all that kind of stuff. But all said and done, generally, what I'm trying to make a point of is that if you have a sort of manifestation of God, it's kind of pretty unseeable. It's kind of, you have to operate in your faith. You have to believe that God did it. He probably did, but you got to believe it. You can't go to a non-believer and say, God did it, because he'll start telling you, no. This happens with these people, and the rain is falling over here just like it's falling on you, you know. So it's just coincidence, or, you know, we get blessed too, for that matter, because there's so many people in the world. You, just because you're a Christian and you think that God is moving, probably is, you know, because that's what God does. But what I'm trying to say is, there's nothing real tangible. Now you begin getting to the Pentecostal area a little bit, and you can get some more little Pentecostal, or at least something that looks like God's doing something more visibly. I mean, you hear the tongues. Of course, there's a problem with that. If you're baptized the Holy Spirit, you can speak tongues anytime you want. Maybe you have the gift of prophecy or something like that. Prophecy might just come on you or something, and you have to speak it out. And there's a few other types of things that seems to be that God has directed your body to do something. And I have seen personally things that happens to people's bodies, not in their will, not in their choice. They didn't say, I want to do this. Some people don't want to do it. Some people are somehow or another had to go along for some reason or another. I'm talking from a personal experience that I had. And so I've seen this person and know the background of this person and know that that person did not want the Holy Spirit to come on them. And the Holy Spirit always comes on them, period. Now, there's a lot of people in the same kind of gathering that pretty much like the idea of the Holy Spirit coming on them, and that's just fine. But in the Pentecostal world, you could see things. And the debate can go on, because some people will believe if you're not Pentecostal, maybe it's Satan. Even in the Pentecostal world, you might say, no, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But if you get some really good personal experience and involvement close up of some of these kind of move of the Holy Spirit, you will see that it is the Holy Spirit. We're not playing games here. The Holy Spirit's doing it. It's not Satan, not anything else. You know, you can know this, but if you don't see it, you're a skeptic. You'd like to believe it, maybe, but you haven't seen it, so you just have to. You know, this is what somebody else is saying. Well, I was privileged enough to see some things happen and know that it was the Holy Spirit. It's not a guesswork here. It's obvious, you know, you can hear things and see things. And it's God, people. Anyway, but this is still not a really spectacular move of God. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. Fantastic to be part of that, but it's not something that shakes the world. It's not something where God comes down and, you know, if Joshua holds up Moses' arms, they start winning the war. Or when his arm starts going down, they start losing the war or something. You know, God is actually doing something in there, making the difference in a big war type of thing. You know, you got the parting of the sea. That's pretty fantastic. You got the pillar of smoke. You got all those plagues. That's pretty much a movement of God. And there's many things where you read in the Bible that God did things. Now, for 2,000 years, we're given some promises that if you really love God, and you signs will follow you when you go out to minister. But in Christianity, we kind of shy away from the signs following, except that in more recent times, starting about probably, you know, beginning of last century, you know, 1920, 17, something, 20. 1917, 14, I don't remember that Azusa Street thing that's got the Pentecostal movement that we know today that got stuff like TBN on the air, which now, you know, it's almost scary. They got puffed up. They get all this money and everything. In 1980 is when they had the big revamp of their set where they make it so looks like kings would be put to shame because they set up their sets so luxurious, you know. But, you know, I usually like TBN a lot. And hopefully there might be some restoration that can go there. But personally, it's kind of bad when you have to read a lot of information and see so many sources that there's so much confirmation in that so many people at TBN are 33rd degree Masons. And 33rd degree Masons aren't on the side of God or Jesus. They're against God or Jesus. They're very much into deception. And what a better way to deceive people than to act like that they are believers and teaching you. But anyway, we're the last days Christians. And God is going to do some stuff again. Lots of different cups. See, you always hear this thing that the cup runneth over. The cup fills to the brim. God moves when the cup fills up and it's just about to start to overflow. That's when God's going to move. He'll wait till the cup gets completely full. Well, there's a bunch of cups that are getting pretty darn full right now and they're about to overflow, and it's meaning that it's about time that God's going to move. See, we're in a different time frame now. We're what I am calling, and what many people call, last days Christians. And this concept just is not getting through to people. The idea of it is simply, it's party time. Let's sing and let's act emotional and everything and say, oh, we're so good. And we're going to make all these wonderful promises and we're going to be even better. As though that you can be better. You know, you're a sinner to death. Do you think that you have the ability to commit yourself to not sinning? All you're going to make yourself do is sin all the more and even worse. And make it even more difficult. Though you may have a glory day because it's so fun at the time. We can have lots of fun worshiping God. It feels so good. We can even get God to move a little bit. Because it's His promise. Two or three gather in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. You ask for things you can lay hands on and heal people even. Doesn't happen as often as it used to or could. But there's lots of things you can do, even though that you got your motives kind of messed up a little bit. So many people are looking for Jesus' return, but they're forgetting about events must take place before He actually returns. Jesus isn't come tonight. You can't go around telling people, if Jesus were to come tonight, do you feel confident that you'll go to heaven? When you say this, you're already giving misinformation. You're not giving the Bible information. Because Jesus is not going to come tonight. Or tomorrow night. Or next year. Or the year after that. We're at least 6 years away from a point that Jesus can return. I say the clock is stopped. So that means we're always at this 6 year point before the rapture. When the clock starts, then it begins to tick away and we can get to that point that you could pretty much know in the neighborhood of 6 years. If you knew things, which most people aren't going to know, then the rapture would take place. There's some events, and I talk about them from time to time, that's going to begin to make this clock start ticking again. And once that clock starts ticking again, then it's not going to stop. Right now, everything, everybody likes to say, everything's fulfilled. There's nothing more that needs to be done, and they're pretty much right. Because the next thing that really needs to be done that isn't done already is the two people, the two witnesses have to meet each other. That's basically all that's left. The rest of the stuff just needs fine-tuning. You got to get more better at ID tracking. You know, because the statue they build over there is going to seem like it's alive and it's going to have the computer ability to know where you're at. And so you're needing some things so that it can know where you're at. GPS, look, we're getting all our telephones now that's got GPS in it now. so they know where you're at. And we can't do without these phones. And it's not too easy to turn off GPS, if at all. And so we're going to be able to be tracked. And we got the technology to do it. And so we're fine-tuning, adding technology, upgrading software, and manipulating the countries and leaders ever so much better for the transition into Antichrist's kingdom will be easier. But everything basically is done, as we hear so often. So one could think that Jesus could come at any time, the rapture can happen at any time, but no, it can't. So we're starting the last days Christian period of time. In this little time period where the clock is stopped, is a time period where the evolution as it was, the transition as it was, the adaptation as it was of many Christians from a status quo occupation ministry or people, Christian people, were just in a land. It's not our own as it was, because heaven's our home, but we have to occupy till Jesus comes. So we have been an occupying church. But this changes, and we are in this adapting process right now. And the message needs to go out more and more to Christians like you that are looking here. It is time to adapt, to evolve over to a last days kind of Christian. Because this is what you are. And if you can't see it or understand it or recognize it, then you're going to be living in your old style of way of an occupation force. Now all you can do is wait, and then you know you get old and die, because nobody else has been able to live long enough to see the rapture. Well, we can, and so we are different. Lots of people talk about this kind of stuff, but it seems like it's good to talk about. But guess what? It's here. It's time to adapt. You got to get out of the kinds of ways of ministering that you have been doing, as it were. You know, we're so taught up. We go to our pastor to listen to him teach us up. You know, we just got, especially we lose our hair, get gray and all this kind of stuff, going to church all the time. We got all kinds of hotness inside our head. We're taught up. We just know everything about the Bible because we're just taught all the time. Sermon after sermon, we hear all this wonderful stuff. What do we do with it? We go home. Or we, after church, we go to breakfast. Then we go up to the lake, see a movie, go bowling, I don't know. Watch TV, watch a football game, something, you know. And then the next day you go to work. And then you do it all again the next Sunday, you know. You go in there and get all taught up again. And you repeat this week after week. Some of you actually do go into a little bit of ministry, but you are copying what's always been. You're mimicking the past. Sorry, we're not there anymore. We're last days Christians. So if you want to continue in the past, then you have all the abilities, or all the attributes, as it were, the conditionings. You're not going to have a lot of choice. You're going to see that man over there. You're going to think he's Jesus. I don't care what you're thinking now. You're going to think he's Jesus. And so you got to get the idea. You're not the same. You're not in the same period of time. We're the last days Christians. People, I'm trying to develop now in these past few weeks a kind of a more larger outreach than I've been doing before, because I've gotten so many contacts all around the world many pastors everywhere, and they're practically begging me to go there and minister to them. It's hard to understand case for Jesus and all these foreign pastors that are straight. Otherwise, you know, you would think they would be just like a lot of you, just want to condemn gays. But yet, all over the world, they want me to go there and preach. And God showed me a vision of what's going to happen. Miracles are going to fall. People are going to get healed. But it's not going to go necessarily well with you people that want to stay in the 2,000-year occupation church. But you that have a fire on your heart, I don't care if you're straight or gay, there's numbers, there's email up there, there's my website up there. Come join in, help me figure out how we're going to be last day's church. You know? There's lots of people out there, and it's happening in the various parts of the world and everything. Seattle could be very important, people. I remember in 1980, a pastor of a church I went to, the reason he started a church here, it was the Assembly of God, was because he heard a prophecy from some prophet in Russia that said there's going to be an outpouring from Seattle. But they never heard of Seattle. They didn't know, what is Seattle? Where is Seattle? They haven't heard of it before. But they've seen it in a vision. A number of them are seeing that from the Pacific Northwest here, it moves out across the land. Maybe Seattle might be the place. And these pastors got wind of this, and they came here because they wanted to be part of it. The problem was they're premature. There's too much that had to be done. 20 years more had to go by. So I'm trying to make a call out. I know there's a lot of Pentecostal gays out there. You know, it's our time. The Protestant gays that aren't Pentecostal and the Catholic gays have already developed into their own outreaches, and now all the other denominations have gay church type outreaches. Except the Pentecostal. You don't see Foursquare. You don't see Assembly of God gays out here. But you could look at, you know, I'm working with a very large advertising company. And when they look at their target sources and go through life, they see every manner of gay Christian denomination except Pentecostals. I'm calling in you Pentecostal gays, especially here in Seattle. Let's get together. Let's operate in our faith, in our Pentecostalism, what it means, you know. There's my website there and email. You can leave a comment on the comment line there. But please, people, let's get busy. Help me develop my website in putting your input into how we can begin to cover this world with the gospel and other things as a last days church. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Like that. So pray that prayer and then read the King James Bible. See you next week.